Glory to God. Glory to God. How many of you are in the glory land way this evening? The church is the glory land way. If you're in the church of Christ, you are in Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. He said, for the Lord himself, Paul says, for the Lord himself shall descend, not may descend, but shall descend from heaven with a shout. Voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God is going to sound. The dead in Christ, the dead in the church of Christ, the dead in the church of Christ shall rise first. Those of us in the church of Christ that are alive and remain shall be caught up. Praise God. Caught up and not caught down. Caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Ain't coming back here. And so shall we forever be with the Lord. That should bring comfort to our hearts when we hear these words. Thank God for each and every one of you that came back on this evening. You mothers, you might be a little bit too full and want to go to sleep on me. If you have a husband here, tell him to nudge you once in a while. I might have to come down and nudge Sister Leggett. And so, you mothers, I know that you like the rich man. And Lazarus, you, all of you probably dine what is scrumptiously on today. Steak and roast beef and fried chicken and roast chicken and all of that, all of those other good dishes. But I ask of your prayers as I endeavor to bring to you the Word of God and your undivided attention, that we all receive with meekness God's engrafted words, which is able to save our souls. Yes. Brother Haynes, good to see you here on this evening. Anyone that can leave a big, rich congregation like that and come down to us poor folk, we have a lot of respect and love for him. Amen. Now maybe he'll give us all a ride in that new car. But we're so glad to see him. And of course, all of you, my fellow brothers and sisters, that labor here in this part of God's vineyard. Now, if you would turn with me to the text that was read for our hearing, I shall endeavor to bring a lesson on that this afternoon. And that text was found in the book of Exodus. And the reader read from the second chapter through verses 1 through verses 4. That is Exodus, the second chapter, verses 1 through verses 4. And I shall reread this text for emphasis on where we will take our lesson on today. Can you hear me all right now? Okay, I don't have to stick my nose in the mic. The Bible reads, and there went a man out of the house of Levi and took a wife, a daughter of Levi. And the woman, underscore that word, the woman conceived and bare a son. And she called and she saw him that he was a goodly child. That means he was a pretty baby. He was a good looking child. To me, all babies are pretty. Said he was a goodly child. She hid him 3 months. If you don't believe me, just have one and I'll tell you. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes. You remember Noah and the ark? A kind of a boat, a kind of a ship. So she took an ark and she made this little boat out of bulrushes, which were weeds and shrubbery from around the waters. And she dabbed it with slime and with pitch. And if you notice Noah, in the sixth chapter of the book of Genesis, you find Noah building an ark, and he used slime and he used pitch so that the ark wouldn't sink. So it looked like she knew what she was doing. one, I believe, she was totally guided, amen, somebody, by the hand of God. Nobody could perfect anything, a work of this nature, for the cause that in which she did it, except they be guided by the hand of God.
Amen.
And she put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's bank. And his sister stood afar off to wit, and that word means to see what would be done unto him. In other words, to see what would happen to the baby. For a subject on this afternoon, we want to talk about the fruit of mother's love. Is that all right this evening? We want to talk about the fruit of mother's love on this evening. We talked about mother on this morning. And I believe we said that she was to love. Am I right about that? We said that she was to love her children. And now we see the fruit, a demonstration of the love of this mother for her child. You see, all of the problems started back in the first chapter of the book of Genesis, when old Pharaoh became worried, bothered, because God's people were reproducing so fast. So evidently they were doing what God told them to do. Amen. He told them to be fruitful and multiply. And they were multiplying, so Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, got worried. And he said, well, with all of them having all these babies, and they grow up, and another army wants to fight us, and they join that army, and they might fight against us, and we be defeated. In other words, this was his way of thinking as we read from the scriptures. So he called the midwives. You all know what, anybody know what, or don't know what a midwife is? Everybody know what who a midwife is? Any midwives in the house tonight? You don't hear of them these days. But a midwife was one who assisted in the birth of a baby. You see, they tried to start my birth with a midwife, but they ran into problems and they had to go and get a doctor, even though they didn't have any money. But a midwife started to attend my birth. The midwife attended both of my brothers, my other two brothers' birth. So he called the midwives in. And he told the midwives that when these Hebrew women gave birth, that if it was a boy, they were to kill it. And this would help a lot of people out today that do not produce or want to produce the fruits of motherhood. They just killed the baby. Remember some time ago, a young mother let the baby fall into the commode. A young mother took the little baby and wrapped it in plastic and threw it in a dumpster, the trash can, not wanting to be the producer of the fruits of motherhood. But we see when Pharaoh told them to kill these babies, we can ascertain and see that God was in the plan. Because God knew that in his plan that he was working it out for his man. Amen, somebody. So he called, Pharaoh called the midwives in because they were still, these babies were still being born. And he called the midwives in and says, look here, why have you not done what I told you? And the midwife said to Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women. In other words, the Hebrew women were stronger than the Egyptian women. Any child of God, any woman of God, is stronger than the women of the world. Amen. As they spiritually in the first place. So these were women of God. The Hebrew women were women of God, and they said they're strong and they have these babies before we could ever get to them. They've already had the baby. And so it came to pass then that people multiplied and they grew stronger. They grew mightier in their numbers. Why? Because God was with them. even their offsprings were looked upon by God. And Pharaoh charged his people, saying, every son that is born, you should cast him into the river. And every daughter, you shall save alive. Does that sound like prejudice to you? It does to me. So he wanted to get rid of the boy babies for fear that they would grow up and probably join a foreign army and fight against them. So we see then when this decree was issued, we see in the midst of this, even Jesus, and I wish somebody could help me remember somewhere in Matthew, Jesus says, lamenting, a sorrow could be heard, Rachel weeping for her children. Even Jesus' mind went back to this time when all of these little boy babies were being killed, being thrown in the river. And of course, the mothers who loved their children were weeping. But we find one woman who demonstrated her love. And she demonstrated what is called a sacrificial love. Amen. That's when you sacrifice something or you sacrifice yourself. So this woman demonstrated a sacrificial love, because with this decree going out from the king, he meant business. And anybody that saved a baby boy would probably lose their own lives. So we see that this mother's love that she had for that baby caused her to put her life in danger. Mother's sacrificial love. Mothers, you ought to have a sacrificial love on today. If you don't have a strong sacrificial love, you ought to pray that God will give you strength to have a sacrificial love for your children. Some mothers' love is so strong that whenever they get up big and burly and strong, like Brother Warren Royster, that mother's still crazy about him. That's still her son. And I believe she might sacrifice herself for him. I'm just using that as an example, Brother Royster. But that mother's love, we want to see that this woman produced the fruits of a mother's love. And that's why we find in 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 18, the Bible says, brethren, let us not love in word, is that right? Amen. But in deed and in truth. So we find her not just talking love, but we find her walking love and demonstrating her mother's love. All mothers. Mothers, you need to not talk love. You need to not always just say, I love my baby, and then turn around and mistreat him. Turn around and go off and leave him at improper times. Use bad and filthy language in his presence. Do other things in his presence. There are mothers lacking so much the fruit of love that they will have a man unmarried laying up in the bed with them and the baby. Lord have mercy. Don't you know that that baby can sense something? I read about a young man whose wife was pregnant, and he was a very religious man, and he wanted his baby to come up as a Christian and be religious. So three times every day, while the mother was carrying that child, he would get down and quote scriptures to the mother's abdomen. Three times a day. So a lot of us would say, well, maybe that does not make sense. But the Bible, I got two of them. Thank you, sir, for being so thoughtful. He brought me a handkerchief. But we may say that that doesn't make sense. How could the baby? But when that baby was born, and they say when that baby was 4 or 5 years old, that baby could quote the second chapter of the book of Acts. He got it from somewhere. He got it from somewhere. So mothers need to demonstrate a godly love, a sincere love for the children. Amen. And a sacrificial love, sacrifice themselves because they love this child. Amen. So this woman we see here, she it was a man. In verse number 2, we see a man from the house of Levi. Levi was a priestly tribe. You see, we are all priests today. Amen, somebody. And so Levi was a priestly tribe of God's people. And you notice something here, that this man took a wife. And she was the daughter of Levi. She was not from no other tribe, Brother Kirkendall, which says something to your younger brothers in taking your wife. Make sure she is of the tribe of the house of Israel. Amen, somebody. Sixth chapter of the book of Galatians says, we are the Israel of God. And so young men, you should do like this man did. Endeavor to take your wife from the house of the Israel of God. And so when she bare this son, because I believe of her godliness, and she saw that he was a good looking child, that he was a beautiful baby, she hid him to spare his life. So in other words, what was she doing? She was sacrificing her life in order to save the baby's life. So then in this, she made a sacrifice, and she rendered sacrificial love. So when we want to see the fruit of that, and the Bible she had hid him 3 months, and when she could no longer hide him, she took this, made this ark, and put him in this little ark, and sent him down the river. And I can see that God was in the plan. See, sometimes mothers, you've got to do what you can do and send them on your way. Pray to God and let God take over. But make sure your life is godly. And you can get a prayer through. Am I right about that? The Bible says in John 9:31, but we know that God hears not sinners. But if any man be a worshiper of him and doeth his will, him he hears. Where did the blind man get this? You tell this to the Church of God and Christ people and other people that are invited people to say the sinner's prayer. Whoever you are, just pray wherever you are. Whenever you tell them that, they say the blind man was not inspired. But I want to tell them this evening that the blind man got this from the pages of inspiration. I believe he looked way back when old man Isaiah said in Isaiah 59:1-2, behold, the arm of the Lord is not short that he cannot save. Am I right about that? Neither is he heavy that he cannot hear. But your sins and your iniquities have separated between you and God, and he will not hear you. Mothers, make sure that you're right with God. You can call on God day or night, 24/7. So I believe that when she sent this child on the way, that God was in the plan. Because we see then that from the house of the enemy, as the member of the family, Moses' little sister, watched to see what was going to happen to him. Mothers, you need to teach all the children, all your siblings, that they're to be concerned one for another. Am I right about that? I believe she had this teaching because she just could not leave the side of that river. I believe I can see her running down the river as the little old ark began to bob and float on the river. I could just see her little heart jumping and fluttering as she ran alongside of the river. Amen, somebody. We ought to have our children so that they're so concerned about one another. When there's a problem with one another, their heart goes out and begin to flutter one for another. Amen, somebody. But today is no strange thing to see brothers and sisters duking it out, and not only with just their fists, but with weapons. That's because there has been no teaching of love among those offspring. And so the little sister stood and watched and look at God work in this. And we see the enemy's daughter, old Pharaoh's daughter. And you know that she came from the family that had all the control. Where the orders to kill came from, this man's daughter came down to the river to wash herself, and she saw this baby, and the baby's sister, Moses' little sister, being there. And when she saw that this woman had compassion, she felt sorry brother's little baby. Amen. Somebody, she had a heart. Praise God Almighty, and just threw her in love, I believe, with that little baby. And the little girl, the sister, sensed that, and she went to her. She said, do you want me to find somebody? Look at God working this thing. Whenever you put God in the picture, everything's going to work out all right. It's going to work out His way, mothers. Leave it to God. You be godly, amen. Trust in the Lord with all of your might. Lean not into your own understanding, but leave it to Him, and that's what she had done. And so she said, that little girl said to him, you want me to find somebody to take care of him? And sure, she said, surely go and find me somebody to take care of him. And I could just see the little girl could not wait to get to her mother. Praise God Almighty. Look at God working this thing up. The little girl went to her mother and got her mother, and the mother came back, and the daughter of Pharaoh entrusted Moses to his own mother. Was able to take Moses into the enemy's house and nurture and feed Moses right under the eyes of the enemy. Praise God. And the Bible says God will make your enemies be at peace with you. Am I right about that? And so right under the enemy's nose, they nurtured and they brought up Moses. And even the enemy's daughter named him Moses. She named him Moses because she said, I took you out of the water. So you name is going to be Moses. But we see that Moses grew up in Pharaoh's house. But there was something going on, and Moses must have been getting teaching about his people. Oh, mothers, you need to teach your children about the people of God. Let them know that we are the only people of God, that we are the Israel of God, and God is going to take care of our problems. Am I right about that? And so she named him, and Moses grew up in the enemy's house. So I believe somebody had been teaching Moses about his people as he grew up, because Moses went out, the Bible says, he went out to visit his brethren. He realized that he was a Hebrew. Am I right about that? And Hebrews were looked down upon. That's why they were slaves. And the Bible says that when he went out, he saw a Hebrew, an Egyptian, beating up on one of his brothers. So the brotherly love of Moses sprang into action. Oh, sisters, your sisterly love for one another should spring into action. When a sister has a job to do, amen, somebody, instead of talking about her and withdrawing your support from her and backing away, your love for her should be that you go to her side and assist her in whatever way that you can. Am I right about that? So Moses came to his brother's aid, and what he did, he killed that Egyptian, and he hid his body in the sand, and he thought that nobody knew it, and he thought that everything was alright. Amen, somebody. But see, Moses was a child of God. God was looking over Moses. Amen, somebody. And when we are children of God and we have God on our side, God is a forgiving God. Am I right about that? And Jesus said, all the sins of men shall be forgiven. Matthew 12 and 30. So then God forgives us because He loves us, and we ought to have that love for God. So when Moses went out and saw two of his brothers fighting among one another, and Moses tried to correct those brothers. Oh, brothers, that's what we should have in our business meeting. Somebody should say that we should not fight against our brother. Am I right about that? And so Moses chastised them for fighting. They said, who have made you a judge over us? And are you going to do us like you did that Egyptian? That did it! And anytime somebody is going to expose you, you get the stepping. Am I right about that? And the Bible says that Moses went to the land of Midian. And we see God was in this thing because God was still with Moses. And I read about the possibility of that journey. And out there was heat, sand, snakes, and scorpions. But Moses made it through. And he was taken into a home, and he found comfort. Not only did he find comfort, but he found a wife. Am I right about that? And God gave him children by this woman. But Moses because of the spirit in him, or the spirit working with him, could not forget about his people in bondage in Egypt. Moses went back down to Egypt, and we see the fruit of a mother's love as it works in Egypt. Here is Moses, a part of that fruit, saved by a brotherly love, and by motherly love, and by motherly action. And Moses went down there, and he calls God's people who was in bondage to be set free. Am I right about that? And he led the people. He led the people from bondage down in the land of Egypt. And he led them first to the Red Sea. And God wasn't done with him yet. I want to say to you, mothers, God is not done with you yet. If you're in Christ and you belong to God, God is not done with you yet until you press your head on a dying pillow. And he's still not done with you yet because he has a place of rest for you. Am I right about that? The book of Revelations, chapter 14 and verse 13, said, blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. Yea, said the Spirit, they shall rest from their labors, and their work do follow them. Let your love be fruitful until the Lord calls you home to rest. And when Moses got to the Red Sea, looked like the people wanted to kill him, because in front of them was nothing but water. So they couldn't swim and they couldn't drink all of that water. And when they looked behind them, there was Pharaoh's army. They could not defeat Pharaoh's army. And saying that, they began to chide with Moses. Moses, being the fruit of love and a man of God, stood! Stand still, he said, and see the salvation of the Lord. The Lord is going to fight our battles. These that you see that are behind us and pursuing them, you will see them no more. God that caused a strong wind to come, the Bible says, and parted the Red Sea. And the book says God's people walked through on dry land. Am I right about that? Moses, the Bible says, was 80 years when God had called him to this work, because the reason he was spared all of his time, because he was the fruit of motherly love. Am I right about that? If she hadn't had motherly love, she could have given to Pharaoh's men and said, go ahead and take his life. But she had motherly love. And we see that fruit of motherly love produced a leader of God's people. And not only did he lead God's people just across the Red Sea, but he led them around the land. And he led them, and he talked to them, and he caused them to be fed. Am I right about that? He chided with them when they became wrong. Am I right about that? Moses, 80 years old. Lord God Almighty, I'm 82, and I don't think I can lead you people out there. Amen, somebody. I get a little weary. I get a little tired. Praise God, I need your prayers. But thank God, he leading me. Praise God Almighty, got his hand upon me, and he leads me, and he guides me, and he stands with me. And when I see one blessing come, before I can finish enjoying that blessing, I look around, there's another blessing. Praise God Almighty, God is with me because he loves me, and I love him. I believe he's going to keep on leading me if I keep on looking to him as Moses did. Moses always looked to God. He got angry, but sometimes I get, you know what, right here, I get that way, fooling with these people. And Lord have mercy, how many thousands was it, Brother Kirkendall? There were thousands of people out there, and he had all of them people, and Lord have mercy, we only got a little handful here, but he had thousands of people that he had to deal with out there, and they got on his nerves so that he disobeyed God. They were screaming for water. They were getting on him for water. And God told Moses, and Moses said, now how am I going to get water for all these people? And God told him, well, I'll tell you what to do. You do what I say do. Brothers, what God says, do it. Do it. Do what God says, and do it like God says it, and it will come out all right. Am I right about that? But Moses got away with something. He didn't do it like God said it. God says, speak to the rock, and the rock is going to bring forth water. And old Moses was so upset, and so upset. tight. He went and he got to the rock and he had this stick and he says, come on, you rebels, Andrake. And he hit the rock with the stick, but God never failed him. Even though he wasn't doing it like God said, to show God was leading him and following him, because he was a fruit of brotherly love, water began to come forth from the rock. Am I right about that? So then we see the fruit of godly love in Moses. The fruit of godly love can be working in our lives. Amen. Especially you mothers. You need to take on the fruit of godly love, because just like they were killing those babies, there's things that are killing our children. Oh, I'm not talking about physical, but there's a lot of physical deaths involved. But I'm talking about spiritually separating them from God. What is one of the main things that's killing our children? It's the world. Amen, somebody. We need to remember what John said in John chapter 3 and verse 15. Love not the world, and neither the things that are in the world. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And this is not of God, but is of the flesh. And we need to take our children into the ark of safety. And that is in Jesus Christ. Jesus said, suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not. Amen. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So we need to put our little children in the ark of safety, which is the kingdom of heaven. Like Sister Brooks has got them there with Megan. They're right here. They're ready for the kingdom of heaven. And that's what we need to do, because the world out there is killing our little children. There's drugs out there in the world that's killing our little children. There's immorality out there that's killing our little children. There's immorality out there that's killing our little children. We need to put them in the ark of safety, and that's in the arms of Jesus. He says, suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Mothers, I pray that you've heard that. I pray, mother, that you read that text and see how God dealt with the fruit of motherly love, and see how a mother sacrificed her life. She could have been killed. Her life could have been taken. But she gave up she took a chance on giving up her life for the life of her child. And mothers, that's what you need to do. You need to render that sacrificial, unconditional love, not only for your children, but you need to start with God. He said, thou shalt love the Lord God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul. Everything that's in you. Then you love your neighbor as yourself. And then you need to love your husband. Amen, somebody. When you love your husband, you set a good example for the children. Am I right about that? A lack of love for the husband and this battling between husband and wife in front of the children is not good. It will cause a lot of the children to die spiritually. Am I right about that? And become discouraged. And little Johnny sees Daddy John. That's my name. But little Johnny sees Daddy John beating up on Mama. And then whenever he gets big and he find him Mary Jane, and he wants to beat up on her. Pass on over to him. We need to set a good example in love for our children. Mothers, you need to be the spear. You need to be the spearhead. You need to be the arrowhead of this thing. First of all, it's by being in harmony with your husband. Amen. The Bible says, love your husband. Am I right about that? And you need to demonstrate love towards your husband. And nothing wrong with the children seeing you kiss hubby once in a while. Amen. Nothing wrong with the children seeing you hug hubby once in a while. But what is wrong is to hear you using those four-letter words one toward another, you see. That's not the fruit of love. You demonstrate the fruit of that unconditional love. Amen, somebody. Whenever he comes home and you see that he's had a bad day and he's all hot under the collar, well, you get cool and cool him off. Am I right about that? Amen, somebody. Amen, somebody. A soft, warm answer turneth away wrath. When he starts blowing off, give him a soft, warm answer, or don't answer at all. Amen, somebody. Just go on and do what you're doing. And if there's something that you do have to say to one another, make sure the children is going to bed somewhere and you're in two rooms away. When you have to say it, and then say it in love. Amen, somebody. Say it with a loving attitude. Husband, you need to support your wives. Amen. You need to support your wives, and you need not be bitter against them. You need to be with your wife, and you need to be behind your wife, Lord, as you try to help you raise the children and get them in this ark of safety. You need to be the one to walk out for Christ and then let your family follow you. Am I right about that? In whatever you do, in obedience to the gospel and the life that you live, you need to give that wife all the support, all the godly support, all the godly love that you can. Mothers, take that and pass it on down to the children. So I pray tonight that all of you mothers have that godly love in you tonight, and that you will produce fruit of the godly love by your life and the way you live. There may be some mother here tonight that's not in the body of Christ, not in the Lord's body. If you're here on this evening, we invite you at this time and this with this opportunity to take advantage of it and obey the gospel by hearing and believing that Jesus died, was buried, rose again on the third day. Believe that with all of your heart. Then may have a change of mind. It's called repentance. Repent of all your sins. And then confess the name of Jesus, saying that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Then be buried with him in the watery grave of baptism. Rise to walk in the newness of life. And as you walk in the newness of life, then you can produce that godly love, because you're a godly person. You belong to God. Men and women, if you're here and subject to the gospel, they invite you to come. Church members, if you need prayer, if you need to repent of some sin tonight, you don't confess that to the church. You don't confess that to me. You confess that to God in your heart, and then ask the church to pray for you. Amen, somebody. And God will forgive you, because he promised to. So if you're here tonight and you're subject to the gospel call, as we stand and sing the Savior's song of invitation, we bid you come.